Well, we're in the last teaching of the detours. In fact, if you have been just your first time and you haven't received all of the teachings, you need to go to the church app, go to it, and listen to all of it, because I'm telling you, this has been an amazing word, especially during the season. So I want you to get your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 50 and verse 15. We're going to go there in just a moment. And this is the last teaching, so this is it. And so as I was preparing this, we were preparing this weeks ago and thinking, Lord, what do you want? This was the final teaching that I believe the Holy Spirit wants you and me to receive. And this one is called Poison in the Detours. There is a poison in the detour that you have to watch. And there's so much that you can connect to Joseph's life, so much that we haven't even exhausted yet. But go back and listen to him. But you got to be careful of the poison in the detours. You know, it reminds me of this gentleman who went to the hospital to go visit his business partner who had just taken strangely ill, and he was near death, and suddenly the dying man began to speak, and he called his business partner close. He said, John, come here. He said, before I go, he said, I've got to confess some things to you and get your forgiveness and get this off my chest. I need your forgiveness. He says, I want you to know, John, he said, that I embezzled $100,000 from the firm about several years ago. And John, he said, also need you to know, he said, that I sold our secret formula to a competitor. And John nodded, and he said, John, one of the things, he said, I'm the one that supplied your wife with all the evidence so she could get the divorce and took a fortune of your money. And he says, I want to know, John, he said, will you forgive me? John just leaned down and he muttered, he said, that's okay, buddy. I'm the one who gave you the poison. You know, you don't want to drink the poison in the detour. There's a poison of not forgiving people. There's a poison of not asking for forgiveness from people. And I want to tell you that in this journey, here's 13 years. He was 17-year-old, Joseph was, when he received the vision from God, the dream from God that he would lead, but didn't understand it. Went through the pain of being sold by his brothers as a slave, put in a pit, and then sold to Potiphar as a slave, and wife falsely accuses him of rape, and he's thrown in prison maybe for 10 plus years with chains on his wrist, his ankles, and his neck, and God elevates him and promotes him. And through this whole time, Joseph was tempted, but he wouldn't drink the poison of bitterness. It is deadly when you do not know how to release people. So let's go to this story before we go into our text of Genesis 50. So you got to understand the background, okay? Now Joseph has gone through all this pain, and now he is promoted. Remember, last week we talked about promotion in the detours. He's promoted second in command to Pharaoh in Egypt because he interprets the dream when Pharaoh has the dream of seven fat cows coming out of the Nile, and then seven skinny cows coming out of the Nile, and the skinny cows eat the fat cows, and Joseph, you gotta go get the story, read the Bible, and Joseph predicts what's gonna happen. So now Joseph is prime minister of Egypt. He is second in command under Pharaoh, and he has led, now at this point of the story, he's led Egypt through seven bull years, man. It's been bullish years. Everything's prospering, but he knows a famine is coming. And so God gives him the plan, and he's now going to preserve, not just Egypt, he's going to preserve the lineage of the Jews, what Jesus would come through, and that's why God set the whole thing up. But now they're in a famine. So he's approximately at this time, remember it was 17 when this happened, and now he's in this state of being second in command, and God gives him the genius idea of how to preserve people in the famine. So Joseph now is about 40 years old, so you got a long thread of time here, 40 years old. Now, his brothers, who think that it's all over and Joseph sold a slave, will never see him again, his brothers have not seen him for 23 years. I want you to give the background to this. Just get the timeline here, 23 years. So when you read the scripture, go back and read the story. In Genesis 42, Joseph and his brothers, along with his father, Jacob, who thinks that Joseph was eaten by wild animals, but really God's promoted him during this time, they're feeling the brunt of the famine that isn't just affecting Egypt, it's affecting everyone. And so at Genesis 42, there are 2 years into the famine, and Joseph's brothers, who have lied the whole time, heard him the whole time, are now in a famine, and their dad's looking at them as they're staring at each other. And he's basically joke. Jacob looks at his boys. He says, "Would you stop staring at each other and go to Egypt? They got food there because there's a smart guy that's under Pharaoh that's running this." Well, now the story goes where it's coming full circle, and the brothers come before Joseph, and they're bowing before him. They don't recognize Joseph. Joseph recognizes them, and the dream is now coming to completion. He's realizing this is what God was doing the whole time. Nations were bowing before him. They don't recognize him, but he recognized them, and they're starving. They're going to die. So now these same 10 brothers who had thrown him into the hole, now they want him to pull him out of the hole and preserve Israel. Remember, everybody, when you think people are getting away with stuff, they're not getting away with anything. It comes full circle. Now, this is the story. This is what's so big. Don't drink the poison. Jacob now dies, the father. Now, I don't know about you, but if you have a feud in your home, it may be your mother, mom, it may be you, dad, it may be you. But have you noticed that when that matriarch or that patriarch is there, they're kind of keeping everybody from chewing each other out. They keep everybody calm during Christmas and Thanksgiving when there's tension there. Well, now the guy who's the glue is dead. He's dead. And now their siblings are going crazy. These brothers are fearing now. The old man's gone. And Joseph is going to retaliate because the only reason he's held this back is because daddy's been around. Now, let's go into our text, and I'm going to show you about the poison that is there, okay? So let's look at it. Everybody get your Bibles, get your notepads ready, get your app out, and start taking notes. But verse 15, let's start there. It says, "But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful." Now, Joseph, here's what they're saying. "Now, Joseph will show his anger and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him," they said. So they sent this message to Joseph. "Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you, please forgive your brothers for this great wrong they did to you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of the God of your father, beg you to forgive our sin." When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Now, we don't know for sure that the father actually said that. These guys are manipulators because people who do harm to other people and abuse other people are usually manipulators and liars. So we're not sure that that even actually happened. We'll give them the benefit of the Christian doubt. Let's go on to verse 18. It says, "Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. 'Look, we are your slaves,' they said. But Joseph replied," I want you to see this, "'don't drink the poison of offense.' But Joseph replied, 'Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you?'" This is a lot tougher when you don't ask for forgiveness or forgive. He says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." He understands that what you did to me cannot stop the purpose and destiny of God in my life. Let me tell you something. You may be in the pit. People may have left you. They may have divorced you. They may have lied about you. They may have cheated you in business. But I'm telling you what, there is not a devil in hell. There is not a scoundrel in hell. There is not one person who thinks they're a manipulator that can stop the destiny of God in your life when God says, "This is my plan." They can't stop it. They cannot stop it. And this story proves that. The problem is the way that it does get stopped is Satan tries to get you to drink the poison of unforgiveness. Joseph wouldn't drink it, wouldn't drink it. So I'm gonna give you just two things, all right? We're gonna go two things. How did Joseph keep from drinking the poison? How? I want you to remember two things. Here's number one, you ready? God is dealing. God is always dealing with your enemy, even when you think they're getting away with it. Oh, I love this. Oh, you do not know how many times I'm going, "God, either give me strength or give me bail money. I'm going to kill him." Don't act so holy on the other side of this screen, okay? You know what I'm talking about. And you want to intervene. Let me tell you something. God is dealing with the person that did you wrong. Don't you ever forget it. And here's what God does. Because God will sometimes use you to deal with other person's sin or abuse against you. He will use you. Sometimes he won't use you. But sometimes he will use you to deal with them. And I believe that when God uses us, it's usually because we're mature enough to know how to navigate it. Because we're seeking revenge and God says, no, no, you're seeing my purpose. But God, in this instance, uses Joseph to deal with his brother's sin of what they did and what they intentionally did. Now, you go to Genesis chapter 42, verse 8. They're bowing before Joseph. You know the story. I just love this. I tell you, oh, this is kind of hilarious. I'd love to have been there just for a moment, just kind of sitting back and watch this. But he accuses his brothers of being spies. They don't know who he is, but he knows who they are. And God uses him in this point to deal with his brothers. God, remember, God is always dealing with the people you think got away with something. That if you'll get that in your heart, you'll learn to let go. You'll learn to let go with the person who abused you when you start realizing God is dealing with them. So look at Genesis chapter 42, verse 11. He accuses them of being spies. He says, you're spies. And look at the brother says. We are all brothers, members of the same family. We are honest men, sir. We are not spies. We are honest men. Yeah, right. Can you hear Joseph rolling his eyes? Now, how much did you think that irritated him when he starts saying he's something and he's not? Because I'm telling you, abusers usually don't tell the truth. God knows it. Don't think anybody's ever getting away with anything. I know God has never allowed me to do it because he loved me too much and he loves them. See, you're thinking justice, God's thinking love. He loves them as much as he loves you. So watch this. God knows that the brothers need to come clean. He knows it. He knows they need to come clean. So in verse 17 of Genesis 42, Joseph lets them sit there. He says, okay, here's the deal. He said, I'm gonna put y'all in jail. You remember the story. He goes through this whole deal of giving them grain and everything. And he said, I'm gonna put you in jail. He said, I'm gonna let them sit there in jail. So he frees them and they admit, as he's put them in jail, admitting they're spies, telling they're spies. He frees them and they admit, okay, we have a brother back home, Benjamin. And then they say, oh, and we have another brother that is no more. He just passed away. See how abusers will sugarcoat things. And it's when they sugarcoat it that you want to rise up and deal with the situation. God is always dealing with the people who did injustice. Don't you ever forget it. Okay? So Benjamin is the only brother. So the reason why he has this affection, he wants to find out about this baby brother, Benjamin, is because Benjamin came from the same womb as Joseph. There was a tie between him and his little brother. So here's what he does. He allows them to return home back to his father, Jacob. They still don't know who he is. He knows who they are. But he keeps one of the brothers, Simeon, as ransom because what he really wants to see is his baby brother. He has this longing love to see his brother and his dad. So Joseph gives them the grain, and you know the story. He gives them the grain, and they came back to buy grain. And so here's what he does. They buy grain, and you know what he does? This is so cool. Here's how you know that you're being healed. Here's how you know you're really being healed, even when it ticks you off. They say, we're honest people, and the other brother's just normal. It's stirring him up. But here's how you know God is maturing him. They come to buy gold, come buy grain. And when they take their bags, they open them up on their journey back home and they find all of their silver back inside their grain. Joseph is saying to his brothers, you don't owe me a thing, even when I could make you pay. He could have kept the money, but that is a signal that he is releasing them and they don't even know he's releasing them. I have a question for you. When you're going through the process of forgiving people and God says, let me deal with them, is there something that you and I want to hold on to and they don't even know it, but when you start forgiving them, you're releasing them, they don't have a clue, and sometimes you want them to know, they need to know what, no, hold on. He's releasing them and his abusers don't even know he's releasing them. That's part of the journey of allowing God to deal with him. So Joseph says, okay, here's the deal though. God's still using him. I know, you know, there's just a little, come on, let's be honest. There's a little something in him going, God's gonna nail you guys. He says, don't you come back. Don't even show your face to me unless my little brother is with you. He has this love for his little brother and his daddy. So here's the deal. Never, ever think that anybody is getting away with anything when they abused you. I'm talking to someone. You're getting freed right now. There is a, ma'am, you are getting so liberated. You think he got away with it. Nobody gets away with anything. And you may think you're getting away with something. You don't get away with anything. So here's what happens. They're all going back to daddy, and he says, don't you even come back. Don't you even come back unless your little brother. But look what happens on their journey back. Genesis chapter 42, 21. Don't forget, God is always dealing with the abuser. Watch this. Speaking among themselves, the brothers, they said, clearly, we are being punished because of what we did to Joseph long ago. I bet you they hadn't had that conversation in years, those brothers, until this moment. I bet you they just put it underneath the table. But now they're having the conversation. We saw his anguish. Look at this. Look at this. We saw his anguish when he pleaded for his life, but we wouldn't listen. That's why we're in trouble. So listen, they're finally admitting. So you see, sometimes the enemy has you thinking, those people don't think a thing about it. It's not even bother them. And you should hold out justice because those people, it's not even bothering them. Oh, no, 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 no. Just hold on one moment. They remember hearing him scream. They remember hearing him cry, saying, please, guys, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. They heard it, and it stuck in their head for all those years. They're not getting away with anything. See, when you think God's not dealing with people, you want to handle it. You want to handle it. Not for a second, don't think they remember what they did. God is reminding them. You're gonna move on from what happened to you, ma'am. Sir, you're gonna move on for what that preacher might have done to your family or what that business did to take all your retirement. God is dealing with them. Well, I believe I'm speaking prophetically. I can't hear you, but I can feel you nodding your head. Amen. So verse 22, didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? Reuben said, didn't I tell you guys? Didn't I tell you? But you wouldn't listen. And now we have to answer for his blood. Here's what God is trying to say to you. You can trust God to deal with the person that did injustice to you. I don't care how long it is. I don't care if they're dead and gone, especially if they've already died. I promise you, God has dealt with them. Don't you ever forget it. Because you can trust God. Look what Romans chapter 12, verse 9, what Paul says. He says, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to what kind of anger, everybody? Let's say it. The righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Listen, only a judge can administer judgment. I can't administer judgment, but a judge can administer judgment. And here's what God is saying. I'm a just God. I know I'm growing in the Lord. I think I'm pretty spiritual at times. I know I'm saved, born again, going to heaven. I get that. But I know that Sam Reifkogel is not always just. As long as I've been serving God, there are times that I'm not always just. Now, I am justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. I know I'm going to see Jesus Christ, but I'm going to tell you, I am not always just, and neither are you. But there is one who is always just. He is always right. He is always righteous, and nothing gets by him, and it's the God of heaven. He is just. And he says, I'm the one that takes revenge, and I'm a righteous God, so I know exactly what to measure out. The problem is, when we hold bitterness and revenge in our heart, we are administering that judgment. We're administering that. We're administering that judgment. And so what that means is justice has already been given because you have given what you think is justice and judgment. So therefore, God cannot step in to take revenge or give judgment because someone is already administering it. But when I say, God, they're yours, and I let you have it, when you release the offense and the offender to God, then you release the judge, the righteous judge of heaven, to deal with them and take care of your enemy. Come on, it's time to let God take control. And I promise you, God is dealing with our enemies. I've been serving the Lord since I was 9 years old. It's taken me a long time to figure out. Because I've had even good people that have the Christian-y smile, can shandai the wallpaper off the wall and said things about me things that weren't true. Now I'm going to tell you something. God's dealing. And don't you ever forget it, no matter how long ago it was, let God deal with it. But if I'm hanging on to it, he can't do it. He's a righteous judge. Everybody say it. God is dealing. Say it. God is dealing. He's dealing with your enemies and the abusers. So here's the second thing. Joseph knew it, that God's dealing with him. God's dealing with him. And he said, I got a little smile on my face because God allowed me to be a part of it. Sometimes he will, sometimes he won't. It depends on what your maturity level is. Here's the second thing. God is dealing with those enemies. But at the same time, when you let them go and let God deal, God is healing your injury. He's not going to sit there and deal with them and not take care of you. He is healing your injury. Now, the story continues in Genesis 43. So you got to see that whole path of the story. You got to read that. Read the whole thing, okay? But the story continues. So they return to Jacob and they give him the news. And they say, we can't go back unless Benjamin's with us. And Jacob says, no way. I lost my other boy, Joseph, whom I loved. And you're not going to take the second one that came from the same mother's womb. It's not going to happen. There's no way. Well, God is always dealing with your enemies. Food runs out, you know the story, and they have to return with Benjamin or they're gonna die. It's amazing how God can put people in a position they say they'd never do. They gotta go back. So when Joseph sees his little brother, so all the boys come back, I'm skipping a lot of things, but they all come back. And could you imagine what that story was like? And you know the whole story. So they get in front of Joseph, and look what happens when Joseph sees his little brother. Remember, when God is dealing with people that abuse your enemies, God is healing your injury while you're letting God deal with him. And when he sees his little brother, he starts crying uncontrollably. Let's look at it. Genesis 43, 30. These are just things I want you to spot here. It says, then Joseph hurried from the room. The moment he sees his little brother, Joseph hurried from the room because he was overcome with emotion of his brother. He went into his private room. When he broke down, where he broke down, and he wept. I want you to notice this, that this is not the first time you're gonna see him weep and break down. Well, the Bible says he breaks down and weep. It's not the last time he does it. Because what we've just read in our text was he broke down and wept when his brother said, you gotta forgive us. Please forgive us. He broke down and wept. What's happening here is that weeping and praying and breaking down before God is part of your healing. Notice that he broke down. Listen, I love the comforters that come around me. I love the people that when something's happened to me say, you know, we're praying for you. Pastor, we get it, you know. You love those kind of folks, right? Your friends. But the only place you're healed is in the private place where you're breaking down before God and say, this really hurts. We used to say it back in old church, called praying through. We don't hear it here. It's pray for me. Well, sometimes you don't need people to pray for you. Please don't write me and say, you don't want me to pray for people. No. Sometimes you don't need people to pray for you. You need to pray through. Where you're alone with God, and you're there alone with the hurt, and you're alone with the anger, and you're alone with the real pain, because we are not trivializing it one bit who abused you. Not a bit. But it's an honest prayer. Praying through is an honest prayer. It's a prayer of, God, I'm angry, I'm mad, I feel like what they did, they're getting away with it, and they did it to me when I was a child, or they did it to me in my business, I don't have any retirement, how am I gonna live, God? Well, I don't even have enough Social Security, God, I'm so angry, that church, you're supposed to be a preacher, and they got signs and wonders, and look what they did to me. You've gotta honestly pray before God, God, I'm angry, they did this to me, and I feel like justice isn't happening. It's part of weeping and breaking down before God. It's part of forgiving and releasing. Because what it does, it tells me I don't have the power to give right justice and I don't have the power to bring the right outcome, God, but you do. But in that same prayer that you're unloading this for God, you say, God, I release them to you. You say, how long do I gotta keep praying that, Pastor? Until you are finally freed of the anchor. It'll start subsiding little by little because this wasn't the first time he did it. He prayed it when they first arrived 2 years in to the famine, and he had to pray it when he was 40 years again. He broke down and he started weeping. Why? Because it's part of the releasing. But here's what happens. You're going to see you have quicker victory over it. The more you remember it, you're going to have quicker victory over it. Because God, why? Here's the reason why Joseph did it. It's been the whole game changer. What's the game changer in the whole series? But God was with Joseph. When you have habitation in the presence of God, he says, I see your pain. I know it. Let me handle it. Let me heal you. And then healing comes out to other people. Oh, because friends, I'm just going to tell you, unforgiveness is, it harms me when I hold it. I'm telling you, it has hurt me and it's harmed me. It harms you physically. I'm telling you, there's physical proof out there. There's physical medical data that people who hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness, it literally affects their body. It can affect their heart, their blood pressure, everything. It can affect it. It can affect it. And the worst thing is not physically. The worst thing is spiritually. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 6:14. Look what his words. He says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Do you know why I'm getting better at it? I don't like it when people do me wrong, but you know the reason why I end up giving mercy when people don't receive it? It's because I know I still need a lot of it. And with the same measure that I've used, it'll be measured back to me. And sometimes I'm going to tell you something. There's some of you right now, it's a process. You're in that weeping time, but I'm telling you, you're letting them go. You're letting them go. And God is proud of you. Every time you break and say, God, this is bugging me again. Say, God, give me the grace. Give me the strength to let him go. That doesn't mean you don't set boundaries with people. Please, some people think forgiveness means you just go, well, we're just all going to sit here and have a big love fest and sing Kumbaya together and the Barney song, I love you. And no, that's not what it means. It does mean setting boundaries, folks. Because some people never mature, even though you release them. You got to set the boundaries. But here's the deal about Joseph and why he didn't drink the poison. You ready for this? Because forgiveness is a choice, everybody. It's choice. And I need you to come close. Come close. Come close to Pastor Sal. Forgiveness is a choice. But asking forgiveness is your choice too. I know we always put the onus on people to forgive. But some of you need to ask forgiveness. You know, I'm not going to tell you how old I am because I don't want to remind myself. I feel young. But in my journey of life, I have discovered something, that people are pretty forgiving. Now, I know there's some people that just want to keep holding it over you. I get that. But I have discovered some of the toughest things in life that people, when someone says, will you forgive me? I have discovered people are pretty forgiving. Do you know what? You know really what's hard about people not forgiving? Let me tell you why they don't forgive, or why they don't ask for forgiveness. You know the reason why? This is what's hard for people to forgive. It's when you know you have done something wrong. They know you have done something wrong. You know that they know that you did something wrong. But you act like in front of everybody else, you didn't do anything wrong. That's what people have a problem with. That's what they have a problem with. And I'm telling you, the lie of Satan is if you say something, people won't forgive you. That's the lie he puts it. That's the lie he says. You can't come to Jesus because he won't forgive you. What you did was wrong. You practiced sexual immorality. You did this to somebody and he'll never forgive you. That is the lie of Satan, that somehow people and God will not forgive you. It is a lie of Satan. I'm telling you, there are more people ready to forgive you than you think. Forgiveness is a choice, but why don't you have the choice to say, would you please forgive me? I was wrong. I'm speaking to somebody. You know what Proverbs 28:13 says? It says, those who cover their sins never prosper. But it says, those that do uncover it, you know what the scripture says? It says God gives mercy. What's mercy? Mercy means you don't get what you deserve. Favor starts coming on your life. There's some of you that you're not prospering your relationships with your marriage, your family, with people in your life. Your relationships break it down because you're trying to cover something. It's choice, and you're going to prosper. So just before I would talk about not having unforgiveness in your heart, there's some of you that have the power to break open heaven over your life and people's life around you if you would just say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. It'll liberate your entire home. But it's a choice. Everybody say, it's a choice. It's a choice. We choose. See, because no one, listen, no one can make me forgive anybody or make me forgive or not forgive anybody. Nobody can make me do that. It is Sam Reifkogel's freedom and decision. It is my decision. It is a decision. And you know what I know about my decisions when I had to forgive somebody? And some of you have had worse things than I could even think about happening to you that have never happened to me. And you say, well, you're not in my place. And that's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. But I know one thing's not changed. It is our decision. And some of you say, well, I just don't feel like it. Boy, tell me about it. I don't feel like it. I feel like I'm being a hypocrite. I feel like I'm being phony because I just don't feel like it. Of course you don't feel like it. Well, you don't understand what they did wrong. I understand that. They don't deserve it. They don't even know what they did wrong. They act like nothing's going on. They're like, no. God's dealing with them. Take my word for it. Take my word for it. Well, you know, I just can't do it. It's just hard. Well, that's the part of it. That we're not rationalizing. We're not thinking rationally. You don't forgive people for what they do right. You don't forgive people for what they do right. People come and say, compliment you. You know, you look like you've lost weight. Well, my goodness, look at your hair. Looks stunning today. Are you losing weight? Oh, my goodness. And do you go, I forgive you for saying that. Forgive you. You don't forgive people for what they do right. You forgive people for what they did wrong. And it's not a feeling. The feeling's not there. And I've discovered something. You don't feel your way into an action. You act your way into a feeling. I will never, listen, if I came to church today to preach the word to you because I didn't feel like it, well, I said, I got a headache. I'm not going to show up. Just let the people look at a blank camera and an empty seat today because I just don't feel like preaching. Sometimes I got to encourage myself in the Lord. Sometimes I got to act. You've got to act your way in feeling. Does this mean that I have to forget everything? Just forget it, Pastor? Oh, no. Because I'm just going to tell you, it's impossible to forget it. It doesn't erase the history or excuse what happened. And it doesn't even mean that you don't set boundaries. Forgiveness means, you ready for this? It means relinquishment of the offender to God. That's what it means. Forgiveness means I give up whatever power the person holds over me. Forgiveness means I relinquish it to God. How many times do you think Joseph had to go through that? His brothers did this to him. Did it to him. People have lied about you. They said, till death do us part, and they cheated on you. But when you forgive and say, God, you're yours. I still feel it. I remember it. But Lord, I'm going to keep weeping. I'm going to keep going to you until I feel that pain just lifting off me little by little, little by little. It's kind of like this scar on my lip. Hey, you see it? Hey, you see it? I got it when I was a baby, when I was crawling. I cut myself on a, you see it? You saw it on a, you can't hardly see it anymore. I cut my lip open on a can. Had to have stitches. You're getting the blemishes. Back up. It's healed now. When the blood flowed out of it, I cried and cried and cried and cried. But I don't cry anymore over it. The scar's there, and I can't forget what happened. That was a long time ago. It's still there. I'll always remember it. But it doesn't hurt anymore because I let a doctor stitch it up, heal it. What I'm saying to you is I could look at that scar and go, can you believe it? My parents could have watched me a little better. I just hate them for not watching me better. They should have cared a little more. Forgiveness means I give up whatever power the person holds over me. And when you forgive, you disarm them. They no longer determine how you think or what you think or what you do. And God is dealing with them, but he is healing you and making you. You might see it and remember it, but Lord, it just doesn't hurt like it used to because he heals you.